Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. If you want to call in or ask a Bible question, you just heard the number. The lines are wide open. Give us a call, 877-655-6755. The last few weeks, we've been talking about Calvinism. You know, Calvinism can be summarized with the acrostic TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, total depravity, unlimited unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance or preservation of the saints. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the U in TULIP, the unconditional election part, which gets at the heart of Calvinism. Calvinism, there are people that believe one or two points of Calvinism, but I don't call them Calvinists. A person is a Calvinist if he believes people don't really have a choice about their salvation. God's already decided who's going to be saved before the foundation of the world, and you don't have a choice. Salvation's unconditional. The Bible teaches the exact opposite of that. Last couple of weeks, we've been showing that salvation is definitely conditional. We showed a lot of verses, but we showed a number of verses that show that salvation is conditioned upon our belief. The most famous in the verse in the Bible conclusively proves salvation is conditioned upon our belief. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This salvation provided for by the death of Christ is conditioned upon us believing. If we believe, we take advantage of it. If we don't believe, we perish. It's so clear. Yet the Calvinists are willing to overlook the clear and obvious meaning of hundreds and hundreds of passages because they're more loyal to their system of theology than what God actually plainly says. Belief is taught to be an essential condition of salvation dozens and dozens of times all the way throughout the Bible. We looked at passages that show repentance is a condition of salvation. Jesus said, for example, in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So you've got to repent to be saved. Repentance is a condition of salvation. God provides the salvation. He died for everybody. Jesus died for everybody, but only those who believe and those who repent will take advantage of it. Baptism is an essential condition of salvation. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Obedience is a condition of salvation. People want to overlook this, but James 2:24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, obedience is an essential condition of salvation. You've got to not only believe the truth, you've got to obey the truth. And it's got to be the truth. It can't be false teaching. So we've looked at the fact that salvation, or our election, if you want to put it that way, is conditioned upon our belief, repentance, baptism, our obedience. Let's look at some other passages that show that salvation is conditional. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. How about John 5:29? It says, and they shall come forth, talking about from the graves, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. That shows that salvation is conditional. Everybody's going to be raised from the dead, but those who have done good will be raised to life, and those that have done evil will be raised unto condemnation. Whether or not we receive eternal life or everlasting condemnation is conditioned upon whether or not we did good or bad. I know a lot of people listening on this program are not going to like that, but that's what the verse says. And the verse is very plain. It's not ambiguous. How about an Old Testament passage, 2 Chronicles 7:14? It says, if my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. Like it or not, that passage clearly shows the forgiveness of our sins. Of course, provided for by the death of Christ, Revelation 1:5, Matthew 26:28, many passages, that salvation provided for by the death of Christ is conditioned upon whether or not we turn from our wicked ways, whether or not we humble ourselves and seek God's face. It's conditional. Salvation provided for by the death of Christ is conditioned upon what we believe and what we do, whether or not we trust and obey, just like the famous hymn says. How about Isaiah 55 verse 7? Reads this way. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, for he will abundantly pardon. You want to have mercy from God? You want God to pardon you? Of course, based upon the death of Christ, you're going to have to forsake your wicked ways and return unto the Lord. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. The number to call is 877-655-6755. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, which reads this way. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Of course, we're going to be saved if we're saved based upon the death of Christ. The blood of Christ is what pays for our sins. But those who are going to be judged favorably on the judgment day are going to be judged favorably based upon what they did, whether it was good or bad. Do you see the condition? Based upon the condition of whether or not we did good or bad. How about Romans 2, 6 through 9? Here's how that reads. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. So whether or not we're going to receive eternal life, or whether or not we're going to receive tribulation and indignation from God, be lost, is conditioned upon whether or not we obey the truth or we do evil, either one. It's conditioned upon whether or not we obey God or not, simply put. Gabriel from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, Pat. I really appreciate your message. I just had a question about the other man on the cross with Jesus who I really believe is in heaven. So he wasn't baptized that I know of. So I just wanted your thoughts on how that worked. Thanks.
Okay. Gabriel, are you going to be on the line?
I can be, yes.
Yeah, listen to this verse and let me see what you think. Here's Hebrews 9. I'm going to read Hebrews 9, 15 through 17. There's an analogy being made here. I'm one of four boys. My parents made their will out in the 1970s, but us four boys equally shared our inheritance, but not until both parents had died. So a will, as you know, doesn't go into effect until after the death of the people who write the will. Right, Gabriel?
Right. Yes,
all
sir.
Right, keep in mind that illustration. Let me read Hebrews 9. It says, for this cause, he, and it's talking about Jesus here, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now, according to that passage, Gabriel, the New Testament, the law of Christ, when did it go into effect, according to that passage?
I'd probably lean on your expertise on that.
Yeah, you probably need to be looking at the verse while I'm reading. You're probably not able to look at it. But it says, the testament does not go into force until after men are dead. He's saying, look, you got a will. My parents' will did not go into effect until after the death of both parents. Then after that, us four boys received the inheritance. And it's saying the same thing about the New Testament. The New Testament, we'll call it the law of Christ, did not go into effect until after the death of the testator, who is Jesus Christ, of course. And so this law that requires water baptism for salvation, after all, Jesus did say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, didn't go into effect until after the death of Jesus Christ. So the thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized, Gabriel, because he lived under the old law, just like Jesus. Jesus lived under the Old Testament law. Everybody lived under the old law. Go ahead.
Would that be, so that would, okay, that's very helpful. That's great, because that would just be like the story that Jesus told about the real man. We think he's real, Lazarus and the rich man. True.
Well, that, so that Jesus, that
Lazarus would be kind of in that same theory then, right, as the man on the cross?
Well, Lazarus, yeah, lived under the Old Testament law. He didn't have to be baptized. You're right. The rich man and Lazarus, the story in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. You know, let me mention this too, and I think you'll get the point if I say this. Did Adam and Eve, did they need to be baptized, Gabriel?
No.
Abraham, Moses, Noah, none of those guys, you don't read about baptism, water baptism, anywhere in the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. So none of those guys were baptized. We know that. Why? Why weren't they baptized? Even if you didn't have to be baptized to be saved, why weren't they baptized? Because everybody would say baptism is a good thing, but they weren't baptized. Yeah. Why weren't they baptized, yeah. Gabriel?
Well, that came later. That came when with Joseph and Jesus.
Yeah, so after Jesus died, and then he's resurrected, yes. And right before he ascends up to heaven, he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And that, Luke, let me read to you Luke 24, because it kind of pinpoints for us exactly. Hebrews 9 says the New Testament wouldn't go into effect until after the death of the testator, but it doesn't tell us exactly when. But I think Luke 24:47 does. Let me read that to you. Luke 24:47, again, this is on the same occasion where Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." In Mark 16:16, he's given the Great Commission. He's given the Great Commission here in Luke 24:47. This is right before he sends up to heaven. He says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So Gabriel, this repentance and remission of sins, this new covenant way of being saved, would begin in Jerusalem. When do you think that's talking about, Gabriel?
Yeah, later.
In Acts chapter 2, you remember in Acts 1, Jesus, before he ascends up to heaven, he says, "Apostles," he's talking to the apostles, "I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Ghost." And then Jesus ascends up to heaven in Acts 1. They're waiting for, I don't know, a week or two, whatever it is, in Jerusalem. Yep. Then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost falls on them miraculously. You read about that at the beginning of Acts chapter 2. And then, so that's Acts chapter 2. That would go along with Luke 24:47, beginning at Jerusalem. That's when this new law went into effect. And then you read in Acts 2:38, toward the end of Peter's sermon in Acts 2, after the Holy Spirit has fallen miraculously on all these apostles, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, well, in 36, Jesus accuses these Jews that, Peter accuses these Jews that he's preaching to, "You crucified the Son of God." 37, they said, "Well, what would we do? How can we be forgiven? How do we make that right?" Peter tells them, "Repent." I'm looking at Acts 2:38 now, Gabriel. Peter says, yep. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Sounds like that you got to be baptized to get the remission of sins in Acts 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, right, Gabriel?
Yes, it does.
So that's the very first time that was preached and that was offered to people. And Jesus had said to us several days before, repentance and remission of sins will be preached first, beginning at Jerusalem. And this is Peter doing it. So this requirement that a person has to be baptized, Gabriel, I'm summing up here. The thief didn't have to do that because he lived under the old law, like Abraham and like Moses and like Joshua and like Caleb. But once we get the New Testament law, the law we're under today, which is called the law of Christ, as opposed to the law of Moses. Moses was their leader. Christ is ours. It's the New Testament law that requires baptism. Okay, Gabriel?
Thank you so much, and thanks for being such a blessing.
Appreciate your call, Gabriel.
Cheers.
All right. You know, I believe Gabriel brought that up because I mentioned earlier that baptism is a condition of salvation. We just read Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38. Obviously, it's a condition of salvation. You remember Saul of Tarsus, Paul the apostle, when he was converted, Ananias told him in Acts 22:16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So baptism is obviously a condition of your sins being washed away by the blood of Christ, Acts 22:16. Well, where were we? Well, let me say this. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. That was a good call. We'd like another one because we know this program is going to be pretty boring without the calls. So give us a call at 877-655-6755. We were looking at some passages that teach that salvation is conditional. How about James 5 verse 20? He which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So a soul must be converted back. A Christian who leaves the Lord must be converted back to save his soul from death and to, for his sins to be covered. How about Matthew 10:22? He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Doesn't that sound like our salvation is conditioned upon enduring to the end? It sure does to me. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. How about Revelation 2:10? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Sounds like to me receiving a crown of life, going to heaven, is conditioned upon us being faithful unto death. I mean, people can argue and try to get around that, and the Calvinists do. Of course, they're going to try to argue and get around what the Bible says. Remember, they're more loyal to their system of theology than what the Bible says. And so when they see verses that contradict their theology, they're going to try to argue to get around what the Bible says. We've got to learn to love God so much that we're going to believe what he says, even if it contradicts everything we've always been taught. Maybe you're in the Baptist church and you've been taught you don't have to be baptized to be saved. You need to learn to love the truth and Jesus enough just to accept what he says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And reject this notion that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Because God said that you do. And if we don't accept what God says, it proves we don't love him as much as we ought to. You know, another way of looking at this, this idea that salvation is conditional, is if we show that God wants all men everywhere to be saved. And we read that in passages like 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, talking about God, says, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Here are passages like this that say God wants everybody to be saved, but we can find plenty of passages that teach that not everybody is going to be saved. So what's, if God wants everybody to be saved, but they're not saved, what's the difference? Salvation is conditional, and people don't meet the conditions. Let's look at some passages that have the word if in them. For example, if I say to my son when he's younger, a teenager, if you finish your homework, you may go out and play. You see the conditional nature of a sentence like that? You can go out and play, but conditioned upon you finishing your homework first. You see the conditional nature? Well, let's look at some Bible verses that are similar to that. Here's Jesus, what he said in Matthew 6:14-15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, that's pretty clear. God's only going to forgive us if we're willing to forgive others of their trespasses against us. It's conditioned. Our forgiveness is conditioned upon us forgiving others. There's no mistake about that. If you forgive men their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. How about 1 John 1:9, another if statement? If we confess our sins, this is written to Christians, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you see the forgiveness of sins for a Christian is conditioned upon confessing their sins? Now, the Calvinist says salvation is unconditional. Forgiveness is unconditional. But all of these verses prove that's false. If you would like to get on the air with your Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. The number is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. How about Romans 10 verse 9? It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This verse has been quoted by just about everybody, but they do not realize it's conditional. If you want to be saved, you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's what it says. How about 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2? The gospel by which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. If we keep it in memory, we're going to be saved. It's conditional. The gospel will save us if we keep it in memory. Keep in memory what was preached. How about 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10? For if you do these things, you shall never fall. All of these if statements make salvation conditional. And the Calvinists say salvation's unconditional. Nicole from Wyoming, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I was just concerned. You're saying how it's conditional. But the thief on the cross never had to get baptized to be saved.
Did you hear the caller that called in about 10 minutes ago about the thief on the cross? Did you hear that, Nicole?
I didn't. I'm just tuning in now.
Okay. So the thief on the cross, as we showed about 10 minutes ago from Hebrews 9, 15 through 17, he didn't have to be baptized to be saved for the same reason that Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, none of those guys had to be baptized. Baptism is not a requirement for salvation until after the cross. The Old Testament didn't require that, and the thief on the cross lived under the Old Testament law. People didn't have to be baptized back then. Matter of fact, you can read the Old Testament all the way through Genesis to Malachi, and you won't see a word written about water baptism. Do you see why the thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized, Nicole?
I got it.
Got it. Thank you for your call, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have a follow-up? I didn't mean to cut you off. Do you have a follow-up?
Nope. I'm baptized, okay. So I'm not worried. I was just wondering how that all fit in.
Okay.
Thanks.
And that's because the New Testament did not go into effect until after the death of the testator, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 9, 15 through 17. Wayne from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I was calling about that baptism. I think the most famous verse in the Bible, what would it be to you?
John 3:16, by far, wouldn't it? You think?
Okay.
You agree?
It does mention nothing about baptism. It says, if you believe, you will be saved and have eternal life. Most of those scriptures that you're quoting are spiritual baptism, baptism with the Holy Spirit.
So Wayne, let me ask you a question. Hmm? Do you believe a person has to repent of their sins to be saved?
Well, when you're saved and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, that's when you begin your repentance. But John 3:16 clearly says that if you believe, it doesn't say believe and baptize. It says believe.
But Wayne, I think you got the
but
point.
Explain that to me why it doesn't say
yes,
water.
I will. Now, just trying to explain it to you. It doesn't say believe and repent either. Except you believe a person has to repent to be saved, yet it's not mentioned in John 3. So you know, I'm telling what you know John 3:16 is not telling us everything we have to do to be saved because it doesn't mention repentance.
It did tell us everything that said to be saved.
No.
It said believe.
No,
because all the thief on the cross had to do was believe. He just said, hey, if you are really the Savior, then save me. He didn't have to believe nothing. He didn't have any good works. He didn't have any repentance. He didn't have any water baptism.
Oop, I dropped Wayne. I meant to put him on hold so I could do a little bit of the talking. In John 3:16, all it does is say you have to believe in order to be saved. It doesn't say that's all you have to do to be saved. It does say you have to believe, but how about James 2:24? You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So it's not by faith only. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So everybody agrees that a person has to repent in order to be saved, including Wayne. He admitted that. All right. But John 3:16 does not mention repentance. So Wayne, who called in just now, and everybody else knows that John 3:16 is not telling us everything we have to do to be saved. It doesn't mention repentance. You have to go to other passages for that. And when you go to other passages, You see that you have to be baptized to be saved. If you would like a free 1 hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753.